It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, it's time for us now to take our final stab at the whole idea of being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And today we're focusing on responsibility and accountability with Elder Nachiyunde, who's joining us on the line to give us some perspective. Elder Nachiyunde, good afternoon to you once again. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Elder.
So to wrap up our conversation we've been having the whole week, Mdala, we will look at the responsibility and the believers, or of the believers, to actively live out their faith and the concept of being held accountable for one's actions delves into, well, fundamental aspects, I suppose, of Christian ethics and community life. And this discussion will examine just how accountability structures within the Christian community can serve to support and encourage believers in their journey of faithfulness. So let's begin by me asking, what does it mean, therefore, for believers in the Christian community to actively live out their faith?
Okay, thank you so much. What that means is that Christians are supposed to have their lives actually shaped around the love for God and also love for fellow human beings. Mm. In that, we understand that Christians are actually expected to have at their core center of their hearts that God is will for their lives, and also the love for humanity. So meaning when we look at that, it is actually embraced in the two commandments as actually taught by Christ, where the first one, we are called to love God himself. Then the second one, we are called to love our fellow human beings. So in that, when we make a linkage between what we are expected to do as Christians in the community in terms of faith, I think our key text that we've been using throughout this week, which is James 1:22, actually calls for every Christian or every person who professes to be a follower of Christ to be a doer of the word and not only listeners.
Right, right.
So by that, our understanding is that as Christians, we must behave and live Christ-like lives by being gracious and merciful to others. Meaning when they need our services, we must actually be there for them.
Right.
We must actually be able to love and pray for our enemies, as actually given in Matthew 5:34-45.
Right.
We must also live a life of being hospitable, welcoming, and be able to serve the marginalized, those who are actually deemed to be nobody in society. We must also be able to live lives of caring for the sick, for the needy, the underprivileged, widows and orphans, including those who are abused either physically, or socially, and also sexually. Okay. So this is our duty as Christians, of being actually responsible Christians.
Okay. How do biblical teachings emphasize the responsibility of believers to embody the values and teachings of Jesus in their daily lives?
So this is actually emphasized in line with our primary responsibility. I think from actually the time we started, we have from time to time actually mentioned the correlation between our profession in terms of faith and also the works. So now one of the primary responsibilities of believers is actually to be a people that love God himself.
Okay.
Where we are called to love God with all our hearts, our souls, and minds.
Mm.
And in that, it entails that the emphasis mainly is actually coming in the way we need to be responsible towards the way we act in the light of other people in mind. Especially when we look at the story of the Good Samaritan. As Christians, there is actually a challenge that is given there. When we understand the account of this story, we find that someone was actually not in the cycle of Christians, the one who did the people who call themselves Christians in the name of the Levite, and also priests failed to do justice.
Right.
So we must be responsible in the way we deal with others. And then the second aspect is that we are also supposed to be responsible in the way we treat our families.
Right.
In this, we are actually trying to understand that we have a duty. In as much as we are called, you and me are called elders in the house of God.
Right.
Many people have actually failed to shepherd their own families.
Hey.
Personally, I would rather be an elder for the church and also for my family. Taking from the lesson of a great preacher, Noah, who when the entire world rejected the message of mercy and salvation, his family embraced it, because Noah, as a great preacher, actually embraced his responsibility to the family in a practical sense.
Yeah.
So this is how we too are expected to actually live, where we must be able to be responsible.
Yeah.
So at each time we preach about Christ, our own families will not actually reject him based on our actions.
Yeah.
And then we must also be able to make provisions for the family.
Yeah.
There are also instances when some church members may seem to be so dedicated to God this week. You know,
right.
They are guilty, but they are simply failing to provide for their families and then hide in the name of actually working for God. So
Yay.
By being responsible there, we must strike a balance. Work for God and also be duty-bound to make provisions for the family.
Yeah.
When we do this, we'll be actually meeting the requirement, because when we fail to do that, the Bible in 1 Timothy 5:8 simply says we are worse than infidels when we fail to make provisions. And then the third aspect is that we must be responsible in the way we study the Word of God. So when we study the Word of God, then we must be able to share the messages with other people.
Okay.
So that they are also able to receive what we have received. We have been saved to actually save others.
Okay.
The saving that we have received in Christ entails that we need actually to extend the brotherly love to call others also to accept Christ as our personal savior. So in this sense, we are looking at studying to actually grow spiritually. And then we grow spiritually by the way we actually share Christ also to the world. Yes.
My goodness. So I had two questions I was going to ask you, but I'm listening to you. It sounds as if you've already answered them as well. I was going to ask, how would you define the concept of accountability? But when I heard you, you talked about how people have to be accountable to their families. I thought you seemed to have answered that as well. And then I was going to ask, can you discuss examples of accountability? And you spoke about how we have to be elders to our families. I don't know.
Yes,
you seem to be very, very, very perceptive there. All right. So in what ways do accountability then structures promote transparency, vulnerability and authenticity among believers?
Okay. Thank you. So the aspect of accountability structures is actually viewed in a way that when we are accountable, first of all, we need to know as to who are we accountable to.
Okay. Okay.
So as followers of Christ, first of all, we need to understand that we've been called to be honest with our own brothers and sisters in the house of God himself, including our own siblings. And then this entails that when we are accountable, we must live a life of being transparent in all that we do, and that will actually help us that even as we actually speak to people, they will be able to actually easily follow along, because our lives will actually be a living sermon that will easily hold people in terms of what we are doing.
Right.
And then in that, we also are expected to actually live lives of promoting transparency.
Yeah, yeah. So,
in a way, yes, sir.
No, no, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Okay, so in a way, we are also saying we can promote transparency and accountability in the way we openly communicate and how frequently we do
right.
that to the board of believers and also our neighbors and everyone that we have opportunities to speak trust about. So basically, in this way, it means that our lifestyles should actually not be a hindrance to everyone
right.
in terms of the way we live. So basically, we are accountable to God himself, because whatever we do, there will be a day that we shall stand to give a testimony of what we have done.
Mm.
So we understand that a number of Christians have actually fooled themselves by hiding from elders and pastors who do not even have the heaven to take them to.
Right.
But then they have openly sinned in the sight of God. Then it is actually not normal for us to actually live such lives.
Mm.
We mustn't fear to actually commit sin, because people see us. Instead, whatever we want to do, we must actually take in mind that there is a faithful watchman who does slumber. This is God himself, who takes notice of whatever we do in broad daylight, even in secrecy, is able to see. So we must actually be able to reach a stage where we are not able to sin, because sin is actually not good. It's offensive to God. So when we actually take that kind of a lifestyle, we may be very passionate that in whatever we do, we may actually live to glorify God himself. And the second aspect is that whatever we do, having joined ourselves to the board of believers, we are accountable to the house of God in whatever we do, because we are representatives not only to God,
right,
but also representing the board of believers, which is the church itself.
Right, right.
So whatever we do, we must actually take a better representation, so that we do not bring the house of God or the board of Christ into ridicule and shame.
Okay, okay. Final question. Yeah, final question, and I'll let you go, sir. How do you, various accountability mechanisms like partners, small groups, or mentorship contribute to fostering accountability and support within the Christian community?
Okay, so basically that can be done in a way where we can actually form small groupings that are specifically meant to help one another grow in the spirit sense. So when such groupings are done, either as in partners or small groups or mentorship, it helps in a way to actually build our levels of accountability as Christians, in this sense that, for instance, in these small groupings, the fact that we are duty bound to actually account for our actions, it will help us that if we were not straightforward or maybe lived a life of being crooked, constant checks and balances by the member groups will help us actually to be able to live lives that are acceptable. And then in the partner and small group arrangements, we have also an opportunity to be helped, because we learn from the Bible that we must be able to bear one another's burdens. Where we fail, these other members will be there to actually offer a shoulder for us to actually lean on, and then we'll be in a way growing spiritually.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. I hear you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time, Dala. Appreciate your insights. Appreciate your commitment to this assignment. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much to you and your ministry. May God bless you, and may you continue to minister to others just as you have done with us. Thank you very much, Mdala.
Thank you, Elder, for this opportunity as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. That was Elder Nachiunde helping us understand the very concept of being doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word.